بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل الملك فينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر ب4 كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد فوالذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها رواه البخاري ومسلم. الحمد لله with the grace of Allah تبارك وتعالى. We are on the 4th hadith of the Arba'een of Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah Ali. And in our last session, we discussed a bit on the narrator of this hadith. As we mentioned previously, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are our role models, they are guiding stars, and we need to study their lives and their teachings and emulate their ways. If we follow in the footsteps of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept us as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted them. So the Sahabi who narrated this hadith is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we already started discussing some aspects, or we discussed some aspects on the life of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and some of his advices. Since he was a personality of great knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with great knowledge and a profound understanding of deen. Among the advices of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was, he would say, I dislike seeing an idle person who is neither occupied in matters of this world nor in matters of the year after. So this is a person wasting time. He's not benefiting in the world, not benefiting in deen. Often we will find people wasting time on their cell phones, wasting time on social media platforms. In fact, some people have got a full-time job on social media platforms, but achieving nothing. If you ask the person that all this time you're wasting, chit-chat, speaking to this person, that person, what did you actually benefit? Okay, you did not benefit in deen, but did it benefit your dunya? Can you say your bank balance has increased? Or you have achieved something? No, you have achieved nothing. So let us be wary of not wasting and whiling away our time. Then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala would say regarding salah, as long as you are in salah, you are knocking the door of the king. And the one who knocks the door of the king will have it open to him. One of the best ways for us to draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through salah. That is why when we examine the lives of the pious people of the past, you'll find someone reading every day 100 rakats of nafal, someone reading 2 rakats, someone reading 500 rakats. It is something that we should gradually, slowly inculcate within our lives. The more time we spend in salah, inshallah, the greater the benefit will be. The more we will draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the more we will get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that salah will be a means of great benefit for us in the year after. Whilst whiling our time away on social media platforms, just browsing and looking at things and seeing advertisements or reading newspapers is not going to really bring much benefit in this dunya, not going to bring much benefit in the akhirat. But salah is the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on the surface of this earth. As-salatu khayru mawdu'in, the best thing on the surface of this earth is salah. So the more we can get involved in salah, the more we can occupy ourselves in salah, gradually introduce tahajjud salah, introduce awabin, introduce ishraq, introduce salatul duha, chash namaz, read salatul istikhara, when we need to make a decision, salatul tawbah, when we make a mistake, salatul tasbih on a Friday, all these different salahs, we try to bring them within our lives. And whenever we have a need, we read salatul haja, we read 2 rakats namaz, and we make the relevant du'as. Inshallah, this will bring about a lot of goodness and a lot of benefit for us, a lot of nur, a lot of barakah and peace within our lives. That salah is a means of satisfaction of the heart, of contentment of the heart, of coolness of the eyes. The worldly things are not going to bring satisfaction. They're not going to bring coolness in our eyes. Technology is not going to make you happy. Technology is not something that's going to remove your stress and remove your anxiety. No, it's going to add sometimes to your anxiety. If you are misusing that technology, you're overusing it, you're abusing it, you're getting consumed with it, then it's going to have a negative impact on you. On the contrary, salah will always bring about a positive effect. And it is something that's bringing benefit in the world and benefit in the year after. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he would describe the Sahaba. He said that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wore more coarse clothing than you, but their hearts were softer. They were not so particular about wearing very fine clothing. They were not so particular about their clothing being immaculate and being of a very high quality. But they were very worried about their hearts. Their hearts were softer. Then he says there will come a time when people will wear fine clothing, but their hearts will be coarse and hard. Allah protect. It mustn't be that we are wearing fine clothing, we are wearing the best clothing, but our hearts are coarse and hard. Let us focus more on our hearts than our clothing. Where we miss the point is where we are only focusing on clothing and we are not focusing on rectifying and correcting our hearts. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was once asked about who an intelligent person is. So he replied, he is the one who stores his wealth in a place where moths cannot eat it and thieves cannot have access to it. That is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we give out any money in sadaqah or charity, immediately we are depositing it into the bank of the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is multiplying it many, many multifolds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1 rand you're giving, immediately you're getting the reward of 700 rand. No investment is going to give you 700 rand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even multiply it more based on our intentions. But the best part is that money is stored. Now, moths cannot eat it, thieves cannot have access to it, another person is hoarding his money, he is not spending it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not giving out anything, eventually the money gets stolen. Someone comes and takes the money away. The man gets kidnapped, and he has to pay a big ransom. So the money went away. But if you already sent it to the akhirat, then you're going to get all that reward and all the benefit. Regarding the position of knowledge, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, acquire knowledge before it is raised, and it will be raised by the death of those who convey knowledge, that is the ulama. As long as there are ulama, pious people in the world, pious ulama, then you acquire knowledge from them. Because a time is coming when the knowledge will be raised. The kitabs will be there. There will be books. Everything will be there. But the correct understanding, the correct application will not be there because the ulama will be taken away. Says by Allah, people who are killed in Allah's cause as martyrs will desire to be resurrected as ulama when they see the honor which is bestowed to the ulama. No one was born an alim. Knowledge is acquired through learning. No one was born knowing everything. But when we sit in the right company, when we sit in the right gatherings, in the gatherings of our ulama, people who have got a deep, profound understanding of knowledge, then we will also gain knowledge. And knowledge has a very high status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala would say regarding death, I am astonished at a person who laughs when the hellfire is behind him. Often we become negligent, we just laugh, we joke, but we forgot that Jahannam is behind us. And I am astonished at a happy person when death is behind him. You are very happy, you are rejoicing, but did you ever think that death is behind us? At any time, death can overtake us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said regarding the difference in errors. We are going through different errors. One was the error of the Sahaba. That was the golden era. That was what was known as Khairul Qurun, the best of eras. Now we are going to a different era. This is like Sharul Qurun. We are going to the worst of eras. We are going through the darkest of eras. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, good guidance in the latter days is better than carrying out many actions. The main thing is we are guided, our mindset is right, our belief system is corrected. He also said, at present you are in an era in which the best of you is the one who hastens in matters. There will come a time wherein the best of you will be the one who remains cautious and careful because of many doubts. He also said, at present you are in an era in which whims and fancies are subservient to knowledge. Knowledge comes first. Deen comes first. The Quran comes first. Hadith comes first. There will come a time when knowledge will be subservient to whims and fancies. Now we are going through an era where a person's desires, what he wants to do, his desires, he will follow his desires, and he will try to reinterpret the knowledge and justify the wrong that he's doing. So we need to be very careful of this. This is the era we are going through, a dangerous era. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, you should go in the morning either as an alim or a student, and not between the two. That means throughout life, either we get the relevant knowledge, then we can become alimas, we can become people who have got a good understanding of deen, or either we have to be students. And we have to make this intention that every day we want to increase our knowledge and we want to be students. But we should not be in between the two, because between the two is a jahil and an ignorant person. The angels spread out their wings for the one who leaves in the morning in quest of knowledge. Today those who woke up and said we're going to sit and listen to this program, or whenever there's any other dini programs, we are going to the program and we're going to learn and we're going to gain knowledge, then the virtue for that person is that the angels spread out the wings for that person. Even the angels respect this person. To do this, to demonstrate their pleasure at what he is doing. The angels are very, very happy that this person is acquiring knowledge. Imprisoning the tongue. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, I take an oath in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apart from whom there is none worthy of worship. There is nothing more in need of a lengthy imprisonment than the tongue. This tongue, we got to lock it into our mouths. We got to shut our lips and keep our mouths closed and lock the tongue up inside. Like how you will imprison a criminal. So this tongue is something that's very, very dangerous. That is why one of the great imams would say regarding the tongue, jirmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The size is small, but the harm that it causes, the sin that it perpetrates is very, very serious. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu also said, O tongue, speak good and you will gain. Abstain from speaking evil and you will be safe from harm before there comes a time when you will have to regret. So addressing the tongue and telling the tongue, be very careful of what you say, because if you say the wrong thing, you're going to regret. Very often we say wrong things. Sometimes we said it in a gathering or we said it to someone. That person carried what we said. Someone misunderstood it. It causes a whole lot of problems. So much of problems are caused because the tongue. Then you got to apologize. Then you got to justify yourself. Then you got to explain yourself. You rather not say anything. Rather keep quiet. When you say something, be 100% sure what you're saying is right. It's not going to hurt anyone. It's not going to be misunderstood. It's not going to be misconstrued. A little which suffices you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, an angel announces every single day, O man, a little which suffices you is better than a lot which causes you to transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always want a lot. As human beings, our nature is that we want to increase. If you got one valley of gold, we want two valleys of gold. But if you really analyze the situation, if a little is there and it is sufficient for you and you're not starving, you're not hungry, you're not really short of anything, that is better than you having a lot. Because often when a person has a lot of wealth, then that will cause him to transgress. That will cause him to become proud. That will cause him to be deprived. Because that wealth now starts talking. Now because he thinks he's got wealth, or she thinks she has got wealth, she can just say anything, she can do anything, she can go anywhere, then she starts to transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humility and arrogance. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, the person who lowers himself out of humility, Allah ta'ala will elevate him on the day of resurrection. The person who elevates himself out of arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will abase him on the day of resurrection. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said regarding a person bragging and boasting and exposing his or her good deeds, he heard a man saying, I read Surah Baqarah last night. So he said that is his share of it. Meaning this means his share of it is he is informing people of his action. It entails ostentation, which obliterates one's good deeds. By you telling people about your good deeds, what's going to happen? You're going to actually lose the reward of your good deeds. Regarding Iman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Iman is made up of two halves. Half of it is patience, and the other half is gratitude. At any given moment, either it will be favorable conditions, then we need to make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're going through favorable conditions now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with good health, we're standing, we're walking, we're talking, we're breathing, then we need to be making shukr and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is unfavorable conditions, then instead of complaining, let us exercise sabr and patience. Receiving knowledge from seniors. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, people will always remain on righteousness as long as knowledge comes to them from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their elders. So we look at the Sahaba and we look at our seniors, those who are close to the Sahaba, those who have got the qualities of Sahaba. When knowledge comes from their juniors, they will be destroyed. If we're going and looking for someone who speaks in a very captivating way, or someone who can speak with classical English, that is what's blowing us away, but the person himself is not of that level, he's not from the seniors, he himself has not understood Deen very well, then unfortunately that may be a bad sign. He said, you will always remain on righteousness as long as knowledge remains among your elders. Once it goes to the juniors, they will consider the elders to be foolish. And in this manner here, slowly they will drift away from deen and they will turn away from deen. So we need to be very careful regarding where we get our knowledge from. Regarding our appearance, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, be particular about adopting the appearance of righteous people. Look at righteous people, look at pious people, Look at their appearance, look at their attire, look at their clothing, let us adopt that. Regarding manners, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, every teacher of manners would like his manners to be adopted. The mannerisms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in the Quran Sharif. So whatever is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not mock one another, do not call people by nicknames, do not despise people, do not make ghibat, do not have bad opinions. These are all the mannerisms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to adopt these mannerisms. And by us adopting these mannerisms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased. Our character will then be rectified and we will become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will get great rewards in this world and the year after. So these are some of the advices. I felt these advices are very pertinent. Every single advice is pertinent and we need to benefit from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and we need to follow in their footsteps. Coming back to our hadith, we read the Arabic of the hadith. This is the fourth hadith of the kitab, and it is a very, very important hadith. As I mentioned, the author was very, very selective in the hadiths that he had brought. So this hadith is narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had related to us, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the truthful and the attested. So he was a sadiqul masduq. That means when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, he always spoke the truth and people always, they believed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who is attested, who is believed. No one doubts the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us what was our inception? What was our beginning? Very often, we forget our beginning. And we just think to ourselves that we just came the way we are. But rather, we went through so many different processes. There were so many different stages of creation that we had to undergo. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the creation of any one of you is gathered in the womb of his mother for 40 days as a drop. So when the child is conceived, 40 days passes and it is just a drop. Then later, a clot of congealed blood, it remains like that for another 40 days. So from a drop, it then is transformed into a clot of congealed blood. Some of the scientists of this day and time, they are astonished that how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given all these details over 1,000 years ago, when there were no scans, there was nothing. Now they are seeing how accurate this information is. So later on, for 40 days, it remains as a drop. Then it becomes a clot of congealed blood for another 40 days. Then later, it becomes a morsel of flesh like that, like how the size of a morsel, that is, the child will be in a form of flesh like that there. Thereafter, the angel is sent to him. So that's now 40 days is a drop, then another 40 days, a clot of congealed blood, third 40 days, a morsel of flesh, mudgha. The word mudgha, you translate as a morsel of flesh, or flesh that is chewed. By then, 4 months have passed already. Then the angel is sent to him, and he breathes the ruh into him. So after 4 months, the angel comes and he blows the ruh into the child. Now it's a proper living human being. And he is commanded with four things. with writing his provision, his lifespan, his actions, and whether he is fortunate or unfortunate. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ The angel is commanded to write four things. The child is still in the womb of the mother. 4 months have passed. The ruh has been blown. And the angel writes down, one is the sustenance and the rosy of the child. So our sustenance has already been written long ago. You don't need to stress too much about the sustenance. Then the lifespan. Every person is coming in this dunya, is coming with a lifespan. He's got an expiry date. Someone's going to live for 50 years. Someone is going to live for 60 years. Someone's going to live for 70 years. Some children just live for a few months. Some live for a few years. So the lifespan is written. The actions are written. What type of actions this person is going to do. And the fourth thing, وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ Whether he will be fortunate or unfortunate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the fortunate. May Allah save us from being from the unfortunate. Thereafter, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something that is actually quite frightening if you think about it, wherein he says, فَوَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ I take an oath by that being, besides whom there is no deity. Inna ahadakum laya'malu bi'amali ahlil jannah. That verily one of you will do the actions of the people of Jannah. Outwardly, it seems like he's doing the actions of the people of Jannah. He's doing everything right. He's doing everything correctly. He's treading the road of piety. Until there is only a cubit between him and between Jannah. As though he's very, very close to getting to Jannah. He's approaching the end of his life. Then decree will overtake him. Taqdeer will overtake him because taqdeer is already written. Whether this man is going to be fortunate or unfortunate. So taqdeer will then prevail. And he will then do the actions of the people of Jahannam, and thus he will enter Jahannam. May Allah protect us all. The person's whole life, he lived as though he is from the people of Jannah. And towards the last part of his life, it could be maybe few weeks before he passed away, few days before he passed away, few hours before he passed away, few minutes before he passed away, now his whole mind changed. He started doing things wrongly, or he's doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doubting his deen. He's doubting his iman. And then he dies as a disbeliever and he goes to Jahannam. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the opposite scenario is verily one of you will do the actions of the people of Jahannam until there only remains a cubit between him and between Jahannam. Normally you talk a cubit is like a half a meter. Then decree will overtake him. Taqdeer will prevail. And he will do the actions of the people of Jannah and thus enter it. Often you will hear stories of a person who his entire life he was a kafir. And just few days before he passed away, he got tawfiq to accept Islam. Sometimes the person, he or she is in the hospital. Someone came and spoke to them, told them about Islam, told them about the kalima. They accepted Islam, they recited the kalima, and they died as jannatis. Now, the person who recites the kalima, La ilaha illallah, the kalima wipes out all the previous sins. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. The hadith says, whose last words is La ilaha illallah, and he believes in La ilaha illallah, dakhal al jannah, that person will enter Jannah. So what a fortunate person, and on the contrary, what an unfortunate person who his whole life, it seemed like he or she was from the people of Jannah, doing good deeds, reading salah, giving zakat, going for hajj and umrah, But the last moments of the life, the iman was snatched away. This is something that we constantly need to be afraid of. Always have this fear and always make dua. Oh Allah, take us away with perfect iman. We have to die, and we have to die on our prescribed time. So there's no reason for us to stress about dying. Yes, naturally we are human beings, we will be worried. But most importantly, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us away with perfect iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us away with the kalima on our lips. Ulama have mentioned different things, but one easy thing is after every salah, recite this dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. Read it three times, or at least one time, that, O Allah, do not cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided us and bless us with a special mercy from your side. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. It is a short dua. These short duas we need to be learning, and we need to be reading. This is what's going to benefit us. Learn these duas. Instead of wasting time, whiling time, let us learn these duas. Tahajjud time, you wake up, read the dua a few times. On Yomul Jumu'ah, Friday, between Asr and Maghrib, duas are accepted, read it a few times. On Mubarak nights, 15th of Shaban, the day of Arafah, whenever we get Mubarak nights, we get Mubarak times. The month of Ramadan, at the time of iftar, at the time of sehri, read these duas. Inshallah, we'll read these duas and we'll have this fikr and concern and cry in our hearts that, oh Allah, you take us away with perfect and give us perfect iman. Oh Allah, you give us, bless us with a beautiful death. Take us away in a manner that that day is the best day in our lives. We are looking forward to meet you. We are pleased to meet you. And oh Allah, you are pleased to meet us. What more can we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whatever happened your whole life, it doesn't matter. That doesn't really matter what clothing you wore, or what type of a home you lived in, or what vehicle you traveled in, or how many holidays you went for. What matters is you have to die with iman, because that is the real life. That is only when our eyes closes, the reality will dawn upon us. We will realize that all this before us was a deception. It was a delusion. So it is very, very important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is informing us that don't take things for granted. Don't become complacent. Don't now think to yourself, nobody has got a ticket to Jannah in their hands. No one. No one can say, no one has got any guarantees. There were people who lived their entire lives as saints. I mean, literally saints. Where people were coming to them, taking duas from them, taking advice from them. People were kissing their hands. People were kissing their foreheads. They were saints. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived them of the kalima in the last moments of their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them away from this world. We don't know. We cannot be judgmental. We cannot look down at people. We have to worry about our own selves. We have to worry about our akhirat. We have to worry about our death. When we worry about our own selves, we won't have time to be speaking bad about other people. We won't have time to be making ghibat and backbiting. Always worry about our death and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us with complete perfect iman. Another beautiful dua to make, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fima ba'd al maut, at least 25 times every day. Oh Allah, give me barakah at the time of death. Let that death be a mubarak and a blessed death. Let it be on a mubarak time. Let it be in a mubarak place. Allah Ta'ala, take me away in namaz. Take me away in sajda. Take me away in the haramain, in Makkah Mukarrama, in Madinah Munawwara. Take me away in that condition. Allah must save us from dying in evil places. It mustn't be that Allah Ta'ala takes our life away in some casino, in some entertainment center, in some disco, in some club, in some evil place, in a place where haram is being perpetrated, in a place where there are naked people. Allah must save us from that. When you speak to the people in the burial services, they will tell you, we have to pick up bodies from all places. They will tell you, sometimes we're picking up bodies of people from casinos. Sometimes we're picking up their bodies from some haram entertainment center. Sometimes they're sitting in a cinema. Sometimes they're sitting in a club. The man died. He died. Maut will come. What an embarrassment. What a humiliation. What a disgrace. How are we going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, what business did you have to go to that place? What possessed you to go to that place? Save ourselves from all these evil environments. Save our children. Protect them from these evil environments. Because remember, these are places when Allah's lanat is descending, then Allah's lanat is not only, it's descending on all the people. Like how when Allah's rahmat comes down on all people. Similarly, Allah's curse is coming on all the people. We are going to these places. We are taking our children to these places. But then Allah protect, it mustn't be that some curse of Allah descends and that has a negative impact on that child, that is going to ruin the life of that child, that is going to take the child in the wrong direction. Then who is going to suffer? We are going to suffer. Who is going to cry? We are going to cry. So we have to always be careful, be cautious, and worry about our iman. Every given moment, worry about our iman. Allah Ta'ala, protect our iman. Allah safeguard our iman. And we must not go to any environment which could jeopardize our iman. There's so many incidents of people who went into the wrong environments and they lost everything they gained. Everything they gained throughout their lives. There were people that had the Quran Sharif in their hearts. Allah blessed them. What a great ni'mat. What a great favor. Allah blessed them with the Quran in their hearts. And they went into some wrong environment. They went into some club. They went into some disco. They went into some entertainment center. And they lost the Quran. So parents took so much of difficulty, so much of hardship to make that child a hafiz or make her a hafiza. We did all that. Now it is our responsibility to ensure that that iman is preserved within their hearts, that Quran is preserved within their hearts, that nur and light is preserved within their hearts, and that will be by always going into the right environment, going into the correct environment, sitting with pious people, being in the company of pious people, sitting in dini programs, reading proper kitabs, being particular of where we have got our knowledge from, and the kitabs that we read normally are the fazail kitabs, the fazail amal, fazail sadaqat, fazail hajj, fazail durood of Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi, the bashis ever. These are the types of kitabs that we need to be reading to our children, reading to our families. Read a little bit, ponder over it, contemplate over it, think about it. I read this hadith. Is this hadith in my life or it's not in my life? How can I make myself a better person? How can I become the best version of myself? How can I improve the quality of my deen? Always constantly make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma zidna wa la tanqusna. Allah, you give us more, don't decrease us. Give us more tawfiq. If I'm reading one para Quran a day, Allah, give me tawfiq to read 1.5 para Quran. Give me tawfiq to read 2 paras Quran. Oh Allah, last Ramadan, if I have done 5 khatams, this Ramadan, let me do 10 khatams. So always have this desire. We want to become closer and nearer and dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to always improve the quality of our iman. Think about Allah. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deep down in our hearts. How we think about our children. We think about our parents. We think about our family members. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every given moment, how can I make Allah happy? If I got Allah's pleasure, if Allah is pleased with me, I've got everything in life. And if I lost the pleasure of Allah, if Allah is displeased with me, I have lost everything in my life. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي كشمير وفي بورما وفي يمن وفي السودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك، اللهم افتح لهم فتحا مبينا وانصرهم نصرا عزيزا. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز. اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم فك أسرانا وأسر المسلمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.